We're in the book of Luke chapter number 11. I'm going to ask everyone if you'll take your cell phone and turn it off or put it in your purse or put it in your pocket. Please don't have it in your hand. Too distracting, too tempting. And please help us. That's honoring the Lord and putting Him first. And I mean it. So if you're a teenager and we catch you on your cell phone, I've got buttons up here in the pulpit. I know what seat you're in. All I have to do is push that button, and you don't want to find out what happens. No, I'm just kidding. I guarantee you, after church, someone's going to come up and look under here. They will. But Luke chapter number 11, you may remain seated. I'm going to turn to a couple of passages. So here we are, Luke chapter number 11. And please, no talking once we get into the message. Very, very important subject. Luke 11. And in verse 17, the Bible says, okay, all right, be good if I found it myself. Here it is. And he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. That was part of a famous speech made by Abraham Lincoln before the emancipation of proclamation. And he said, a house divided against itself shall surely fall. And if you don't know what the emancipation of proclamation means, it means you went to the same type school I went to. Okay, and then also in James chapter 4, I want to look at one more passage. If you don't have it, that's fine. And James 4, and this is a book dealing with actions of mature people. James 4, I want to look at two verses, and then we'll pray, and then we'll just jump right in. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? And it's not talking about just the United States and Russia. It's not talking about just Russia and the Ukraine. He's talking about wars among people. So he says, where does that come from? Why are you fighting with others? Come they not hence even of your lusts? And that's not a dirty word, lust. It means desires that war in your members. Ye lust or desire, and you have not, you just can't get what you're wanting out of life. Ye kill and desire to have, and just cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. He's talking about people that have a war inside of them because everything they think that it takes to make them happy, it's just all out of reach. And they just never can get that happiness. So there's war in their relationships. War in a marriage. War kids toward their parents. There's a constant battle. Parents toward kids. Friends with friends. Co-workers at work with other co-workers. Relatives with relatives. It just seems like it's always in a turmoil. You ever been there? Twice in the last week, I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, does it say in the Bible you have to stay married? I mean, where's in the Bible? I mean, do we have to stay together? It's so miserable. Sometimes the couple that gets married and is all goo-goo-eyed and drooling during the wedding does not resemble that couple in the courthouse. What happened? I want to speak for a few moments this morning, and if you're a young person, please don't turn me off. You know, some of you are saying, well, man, I'm 10 years from being married. The whole message is not on married. It's about relationships. And you start off being friends, and hopefully, if you get married, you marry your best friend. And this is a true statement, not trying to be funny. There are more miserable married people than there are miserable single people. Some of you singles are saying, well, at least I'm starting off on the right foot. I'm miserable. And so can't wait to marry someone else, and we'll both be miserable. And so So that's the title of the message. I've got way too many notes. I told Brother Johnson today, I said, I got this many pages of notes. He goes, that's too many. So we'll maybe get halfway through the message. Father, would you bless now the thoughts this morning to help us? Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is this, Avoiding Friction in Relationships. Avoiding friction in relationships. The root of the word friction comes from this. Two tree limbs rubbing together. So here's these two tree limbs real close and the wind starts blowing and pretty soon you start hearing these noises. That's where the root comes from. You ever have someone say, you just rub me the wrong way? When two people are heading the right direction, in the same direction, want all the teenagers watching the pastor now. That's warning number one, right? Okay, you're not going to win the wheel of fortune if you don't listen. So if you're heading the right direction and the same direction, there's no friction. You only have friction if you're not heading in the same direction. What's all this mean? My wife is here. I'm going to testify. No, I'm not either. She won't let me. The word friction comes from the word discord, rubbing the wrong way, a force that resists, conflict, disharmony, dissension, disunity, division, strife, or war. Now, I'm no pianist. I did take piano lessons years ago. I took one and then I quit. Get that? I took one lesson. I said, this is too hard. So this is a chord. So that's first, third, fifth. This is disunity. This ought to be our relationships. This is many relationships. That's why I don't play the piano. It's Melanie and Cassidy does. And I was trying to do good. But that is many relationships is disharmony. It's disharmony. Cain and Abel. Jacob and Esau. We could go on and on and on. Michael and David. That marriage. Job and his wife. That marriage. So many marriages. Now, I'm not going to try to give you an excuse either. It's true. It's hard to do something you've never seen. My daddy never saw a good marriage. Growing up, I did not see a great marriage. My wife growing up did not see a great marriage. So does that mean it's impossible for us? No. We have this book. We have God. And we have some godly examples for us. It's always been hard. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, you need not turn there. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge and give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So God is saying when there's friction in the home, God doesn't answer our prayers. That's how important this thing is. We've got to resolve some things. We got to figure some things out. And we have to have some help. We got to change something. Life is too short to live miserably. And we need to honestly be able to put that little floor mat in front of our door that says, home, sweet home. It can be sweet. And I want to encourage you kids. Maybe some of you kids have been yelled in the raised in the type home where yelling is the norm, cussing is the norm, throwing stuff is the norm, the marijuana smoke is the norm, the busted liquor bottles is the norm, the whole container filled with beer bottles and beer cans is the norm. There's holes in the sheetrock at about fist level all over the house. It doesn't have to be that way in your marriage. That may be the way you're being raised, but you're not cursed. It doesn't have to be the way yours is. Marriage can be great. Raising kids can be wonderful. It can be peaceful. It can be joyful. if we do it the Bible way. Hollywood cannot figure it out. Those we worship and just adore and think they're just so wonderful. Ask Johnny Depp. Ask Arnold Schwarzenegger. Ask Tom Brady. Ask Bill Gates. They have all the money in the world and they can't figure out that one relationship that really matters. I want to give you some myths quickly. These are myths if you believe this. If I can just get married, they will make me happy. Wrong. They are there to meet my needs. Wrong. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need through his riches in Christ Jesus. Only Jesus can fulfill that deep inner need that you have. You know, it's sad when two people are married and they're laying in bed and both of them are lonely. Only God cures loneliness. And it is not good that a man be alone. God talks about that. But the deep inner longing is only controlled by the Lord. Here's another one. They will rescue me from all the problems I've made. No, that's your parole officer. Sometimes I'll be out visiting, inviting people to church, and people will walk up to the door and they don't know who I am. And I'll say, I'm his parole officer. They'll say, oh, okay. And it's true. They really think that. Now, how do we get rid of this friction? Number one, introduction. First, get rid of the friction between you and God. There's 10 commandments. I'm sorry, kids, you'll never know them if you go to public school or state university. They've kicked them all out. They've now kicked the Bible out, made sure it's out of the junior high and the grade schools. We have to forbid that. Can't see the 10 commandments till you're old enough to handle it in high school now. But the 10 commandments, I used to think two tables of stone, it was five on one, five on the other, four on one, six on the other. The first four commands, no other God before me. Don't take my name in vain. Keep Sabbath day holy. So forth. Last six, first four deal with our relationship with God. Last six deal with our relationship with people. Honor your father and your mother. No lying, no adultery, no stealing, no littering. And I forget the rest of them. So four, six. Why did God do that? Here's why. If you get these right, these will be right. Amen. The reason we have friction with people that we love is because God says there's friction between him and us. You get these right, and these will take care of themselves. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Deal with the friction between me and God. God says, have no other gods before me. If there's any person, activity, thing, possession, if there's anything you love and treasure and esteem more than God, he says, I'm jealous. He said, there's something between us. I don't want anything. I want to be number one in your life. You say, well, how will you know if there's something between you and God? He'll let you know. And you'll know. Number two, get rid of the worldliness. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There's this pulling to be like the world, to walk like the world, to dress like the world, to talk like the world, to do all these worldly activities. God says, if you love the world more than me, I'm jealous about that. I've often told people, if God is not first, he'll knock down all your toys. He's jealous. I've heard of women being jealous, smashing dishes, throwing things, slamming doors, locking cars, sawing house trailers in half. I mean, I've heard of a lot of things because they're jealous over something. God knows how to get your attention. And I want to say this. You're not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. Most people can't even name them. I've asked people, you're going to heaven? Yep, I keep the Ten Commandments. I said, well, you do. I love it when they say that. I'll say, well, you ought to be able to name them, right? All right, all 10, let's go. And I've heard, God helps them that helps themselves. Do good to others as you would have others do good to you. That's none of them. And I always look at them and say, if you can't name them, I bet you're not keeping them. No person can keep the Ten Commandments. The commandments are simply to show us how far off track we are, so we'll realize we need a Savior. We need Jesus to become our Savior. So quickly. So here's friction. What's the opposite of friction? Here it is, peace. And here's what Jesus is called, the Prince of Peace. He's the one on the storm. He looked at that storm on the ocean and he said, peace, be still. And it calmed down. He's the one that brings peace into a heart. He's the one that during the chaos of life and the storms and you don't know what to do and you don't have any security, God says, I'm that peace. He says, he's our peace when we get justified or we get saved. He's our peace when we pray and spend time with him. He says, and the peace that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts. As you pray, he gives you peace. As you read this book, he gives you peace. As you do what's right, he gives you peace. He's the peace giver. Amen. Avoiding friction in the home. And I want to say this too, by way of introduction, we'll get to the points real quick. God also is love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. Love means seeing someone else's need and meeting it. That's what keeps a relationship going, when someone is being loved. Sometimes people are unlovable. They act unlovable. But God's love flowing through someone, it covers all faults. The Bible says, love covereth a multitude of sins. It covers a multitude of faults. I say, where love is thick, faults are thin. When you've got a lot of love in a home or a relationship, you're not looking for people's faults and nitpicking. You're wanting to cover their faults because you love them in your family. What else? Quickly here. Let me just give you the practical thoughts here, and we're out of time. Here's something else negative. Singles don't get married. Here's just something else. It's harder to support two people financially. We can just get married. Yeah, it's twice as pricey. Two, it's harder for two people to agree. Three, the responsibility and burdens increase. Four, you're not going to like this one, you inherit their family. I was kidding one of the young men the other day. I said, you're dating someone? Oh, yeah, I'm dating someone. I said, have you met the parents yet? No, I hadn't met the parents yet. I said, have you met the mother yet? The girl's mother? No, I haven't met her yet. I said, there's a reason. She don't want you to meet her mom because she's going to look like her mom. He got real quiet. Tears started streaming. No, he didn't start crying. But you inherit their family. They'll become the grandparents of the children. That's why these fast romances, type, good looking man, looking for a good looking woman who believes the Bible, maybe, long walks, loves to read books, loves Starbucks, click, fine, 28,000 pictures show up. I like this one, I like, you sort through them. And then a month later, you're moving in together. You don't know each other. You don't know likes, dislikes. You've never seen them angry. Are they abusive? What's their past? Can they work? Can they cook? Can they clean? Do they keep the word? Are they honest? We jump through all these hoops, and I'll tell you why. Because of looks. Now, I'm not saying it's God's plan you have to marry someone as ugly as sin. Find the ugliest person in the world, and that's God's plan for your life. That's not what we're saying. They'll be attractive to you. But if it's all based on looks, if all they have to bring to the table is their looks, it will not last long. Because when that bedroom door is locked, or they're driving off peeling rubber from the back tires of that car, you won't get to look. That's why you fall in love spiritually. You fall in love with their spirit. You get to know their personality. You take time dating and spending time together and talking. Not just, hello, what's your name? I love you. That is a bit fast. So what can we do to reduce the friction in our homes? Number one, make your major decisions all up front. Friction comes from too many shared decisions. All right, here's a man. I'll push the shopping cart. We're going grocery shopping. What are we getting, honey? Green beans. All right, there's the green beans. Success. No, Del Monte. Now she's putting them back. You failed, sir. And you're saying, okay, Del Monte. And now you're starting to go, no. The 16 ounce. So now you put it back. You have failed again. Now blood pressure is starting to rise. A little anger. Your hands are starting to make fists. And a little farther. And you put it back. And now, see, no. French style. Three strikes just on the green beans. You're ready to burn down the store, cause a riot, start looting. Too many shared decisions. So what's that mean? Get saved. Make your major decisions in advance. Don't wait till the ambulance is coming at the last minute. Are they breathing? I wonder if they got saved at church. Have they accepted Christ? I don't know. Forget all the drama. Trust Christ as your Savior. If you're not sure you're going to heaven today, accept Him in your heart at the end of church. We'll show you from the Bible how. Take Him as your gift. Settle that one so it's all ready to go. Come to the point, if it's in the Bible, we're going to do it. Decisions in advance. I'm going to serve the Lord if no one in my family serves the Lord. I'm not quitting. I'm staying in church. Then what are some just practical things here to help reduce the friction in the home? Quickly. All of them start with the letter S, not alliterated well. Swallow your pride. Peacock. Wah! Wah! You hear those peacocks? Big, beautiful feathers. When's the last time you ate one? What are we having for Thanksgiving? Peacock. All feathers, little meat. And that's what pride is. We're all feathers, very little meat. Pastor, how do you know if you have pride in your life? Can you follow? Do you argue a lot? You ever tell God that you've sinned? You ever apologize to anybody? Do you ever admit that you're wrong? Do you say the words thank you often? Do you seek counsel before making major decisions? Do you always take the credit or give the credit to others? Do you look down on people? Do you call people names? Do you ever pick on anyone? Do you gossip about people or criticize? Do you backtalk authority? Those are all signs of pride. Friction in the home, when there's pride and no one will give in and say, I'm sorry, you got problems. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Either you do it or God does it. Amen. God hates pride. Number two, submit. Submit. The word submit simply means put the lance down. You've seen the jousters at medieval times with their horses. It takes two to tangle and argue. Put the lance down. I'm going to say it mildly. I'm not trying to be rude. Someone needs to shut up. Is too. Is not. Is too. You always. You never. Your mother. And where that comes in, I don't know, man. That always escalates it, just that statement. Submit. You know, sometimes, and I'm saying this to the men, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about submit on this thing. Well, should we go to church Sunday or not? Well, yes. Should we live right? Yes. Should we be honest here? Yes. But I'm talking about things that don't matter. Don't have a divorce over it's Wendy's or Taco Bell. Do I have a divorce on? Are we going to Disneyland this year? Or is it Knott's Berry Farm? Hey, it doesn't matter. Just say, honey, you choose. I don't care. And then have tears in your eyes as long as I'm with you. You say, well, I can't say that. Well, practice it in the mirror and it may look sincere. Quickly, scriptures. This book is oil to the engine. As you read this, this puts oil and reduces friction. You may not understand it all. As you read it and read it slow and say, God, speak to my heart, it will put peace in you. You'll be more tolerant to people. You'll be kinder. This book changes. It's heavenly sandpaper rubbing off the rough edges on you. But you got to open it or it doesn't work. Owning one doesn't help anybody. Number next, prayer. Pray for that person. I will. God, will thou killest them, please? That's not what we're talking about. Prayer, it'll give you peace. Quickly, be a servant. Be a servant. Men, and I'm just saying this, I'm saying this to the young men especially. Marriage is not this. Got the ring. Honey, give me some food. Honey, give me the remote. Honey, keep the kids quiet. Honey, mow the backyard. Hey. If you think that's marriage, you know the next sound you're going to hear? You've always wanted to see Jesus. She's going to help you. Our Savior took a towel and washed his disciples' feet. You wonder why they looked up to him? He was a servant. Kids, you want to reduce friction in the home? Do the dishes without being asked. Clean your room without being asked. Wash the car and shock your dad into a heart attack. Actually, put your bike inside the house instead of leaving it four blocks away. Do something without being asked. Serve. Well, the way I was raised, you were raised wrong. Well, our family always, yeah, and look at them. The greatest is the servant. What else? Agree on finances. Well, what's the S, Pastor? You said it's all S's. Okay, shekels. Now, let me encourage you. Major decisions, you have to agree. Honey, that motorcycle Sunday really got me excited, and look what we bought. And she's going to bury you in the box it came in. Major decisions, you talk it out. What's major? Depends on your finances. For some of you, $50 is major. You need a week of counseling for that. Others, it may be more. You won't reduce friction? Talk about the major purchases. You're not going to like this one. If you're a young couple, don't get one of these. Hey, they mailed me this in the mail. Man, this is cool. Free money. It's not free. The friendly loan officer will be knocking on your door, turning off your electricity soon. Many can't. Here's what you do. Do it the old-fashioned way. Save, buy. Say no, save, buy. This is real old-fashioned. Work. Wait. Real old-fashioned. Get job. Work. Save. Purchase. Where's friction come from? When you can't meet your credit card payments. When telephone calls, hey, we need to remind you, you've not paid this bill, and now you have a late penalty, and now all this wasted money, and then interest payments, and you're flushing money. Hey, look, save. But you don't have to have everything your parents had at your age. Save, buy, save, buy. Hey, kids, you don't need a brand new car when you're 16. You don't. Get your old clunker that we can hear you coming down the street. And the ozones are affected. You're helping Mr. Kerry with the climate change and global warming. Whoop-pow, whoop-pow, pow-pow. And pull into the parking lot. And the oil comes out. Beverly Hillbillies, they'll think you discovered oil. And you're a millionaire. And that's what you need. Get you something where all three doors don't close good. When one of the windows doesn't work. And you put the key in just right. The odometer doesn't work. It's been put backward. And paint job's peeling. That's what you need. You get your nice stuff when you're older. Then you know what happens? Now you got grandkids. Well, we can't get anything nice because they're going to tear it up, mess it up. So you never have anything nice. Quickly. Avoid anyone else. And the S is someone else. Coming between you and your mate or you and your kids. What do you mean, Pastor? I'll just name someone. Some, not someone, but some relatives. This is our family. Relatives may not be heading in the same direction. This is our family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is what we're doing. But Uncle... Well, I'm sorry, Uncle don't run our family. Well, Grandma, I'm sorry, she doesn't run our family. We're responsible for our family. Someone else. Sometimes it's a relative. Sometimes it's a backslider who used to serve the Lord. Sometimes it's the government school where the teacher says, we own your kids. Sometimes it's the drag queen reading person. Sometimes, and it is all kind of people vying for that position between you and your loved one. You want to be on guard. You want to be on guard. You want Jesus to be exalted. And you have to be on guard all the time. The kid down the street that you don't know. The person on the chat room. Who is that? Who's those thousands of people wanting to know your child? Who are these people? Why are they so interested? And you're going to have to guard it all the time. Quickly, I want to say this. Shouting. You've got to deal with the anger. Anger is the biggest danger in any relationship. You can't have the screaming. I'm just telling you, folks. If you're a screamer, you say, well, my mama was a screamer. Confess it. Ask God to forgive you and give you victory over it. Amen. The kids cannot hear screaming at the house all the time. They can't hear cussing at the house. So I'm just using words in the Bible, but in the wrong context. It ought to be calm, peaceful, God-honoring, loving, laughing, joyful, cutting up, being able to dish it out, being able to take it. That's what the home ought to be. It's kind of quiet. You could hear a ink pen drop. Closing with this, the last S, saying. Okay? Is anybody married here that'll still admit it? Oh, okay, a few of you. Okay? Okay? Guarantee you, and I don't know, you know, what led to you getting married, but I guarantee you this. You started by, you ready? Talking. How did it all start? Well, we worked together. We talked. We were at a restaurant and looked over at the next table and we started talking. They were saying something, and I was saying something. That's how you start that relationship. Are you ready? That's how you end that relationship. You stop talking. People don't always say it, but they mean it. Here it is. We never talk anymore. I know, because we've got thumbs that are this big around. We get home from work, hit that button, pass out, wife picks us up, if she's strong enough, she picks us up, throws us in the bed, kicks us out in the morning, we go to work so we can come home and do this. Why did you get married, sir? Why didn't you just marry a widescreen TV? Why don't you just marry a satellite dish? So you could just, it's cheaper. It's not as frustrating. You don't have to buy it presents every anniversary or Christmas. Now here's my advice, and I know I've gone over time. My wife and I didn't even have a television our first year of marriage. What'd you do? See what I'm saying? What'd you do? We talked. We went places. We had a Friday night date night. We had family devotions. We read the Bible. We prayed with the kids. We told them stories. We had like something old-fashioned called a family. I'm not saying television's a sin. I'm just saying. Where's that talk time? I encourage every family. Here's what happens. Well, we're going to divorce. I'm kicking him out. I'm kicking her out. We're done. We're half. It's finished. Okay, so what happened to that date night? Hey, it's Friday night. Where are we going to eat tonight? Get in the door. Buckling man. You want ice cream after this? You remember those days? What happened? You stopped talking. You stop talking. Go to any restaurant. When the family goes out to eat, here it is. They sit down, they all order, and then it's this. Mom, dad, kids, teenagers. Food comes. Food's all gone. Let's go. Look where we were. Post, face. In the car. At home. We're home. That's time for bed. Pull the covers up. Jesus loves you. Welcome to America, huh? You wonder why a lot of kids, not all the kids here, I'm not picking on anybody, but a lot of kids have no communication skills anymore. Just walk, hey, what school? You go, oh, whoa, whoa. No. What's the name of your school? Oh. So where you live? Oh. Sounds like they've been examined for appendicitis. Oh. What's your favorite music? Oh. Wow. How come? Because nobody's talking to those kids anymore. No one's listening to those kids anymore. Why do we even have kids? Go ahead and have kids so you can put them from front of a screen 24 hours a day. We don't have time to talk to them or train them. Just put them in front of a screen. They're a bother. What's that mean? Responsibility comes when you say, I do. And you start having kids. It's difficult. But I can do all things through Christ, amen, which strengtheneth me. Now, I don't know where you are. I've been kind of shotgunned, Brother Lawrence. We're not always like this. Sometimes it's worse. Are those tree limbs kind of rubbing a little bit in your relationships? Let's start today, folks. Make sure there's no friction between him and us. If you're here today and you've never been saved, not sure you're going to heaven, accept him today. That's the start. If you've never been baptized, after you've been saved, get baptized today. If there's something between you and the Lord, tell him about it today. Then let's start working on this one here. You can make it. If our family can make it, you can make it. If my wife can make it, you can make it. It's not hopeless. As long as you're breathing and God's alive, God could do a miracle in your relationships. He can. I'm going to pray. We're not done. When church is over, God is still going to be speaking. Let's see some changes. You know, I'd love for some kids to come up to me this week and say, I don't know what happened at church Sunday, Pastor. Something's changed at our house. It's like my parents, they're either on drugs or they're happy. Maybe both, looking at this crowd.